The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. It is opening day for Major League Baseball. If you had July 23rd back on New Year's Eve, as baseball will start on July 23rd, you win. Nobody had that, of course. If you made any predictions for the year, you lose. Nobody had this that we're in, but we have sports. We have opening day of Major League Baseball, though it's raining in Washington right now. We have Pedro Gomez. When Pedro has Mookie Betts signing the biggest contract in the history of baseball, and he has the Diamondbacks opening day, and he has TV networks piping in noise and all of that, I have to wonder, is Pedro excited? So we'll have Pedro Gomez here in about 10 minutes to jump on board. John Wilner will be with us at 10:50 this morning. John pushes out the Wilner hotline with the San Jose Mercury News. He's as plugged in as anybody when it comes to the Pac-12. He reported this morning that the Pac-12 does have a plan in place to have a mid-September start. I will talk about that because piecing together some things and talking with people, I have been one through the years and probably the only one that has planted the flag of Arizona State on Thanksgiving weekend is beyond ridiculous. It always gets buried opposite of Alabama Auburn. It always gets buried on some third-tier television network. And all I ever get back is, well, this is how it's always been. It's Thanksgiving. We have to do that. What if I told you that ASU U of A may play in September? I would be thrilled with that. I'd be thrilled with that. Unless, of course, it's 112 degrees stadium. But I think that there is a possibility in talking with some people about this because the schedule is not going to be the typical schedule. So there's a lot going on today. It's a great day to have Eric jump on board. So I'll have Eric here momentarily. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. I was talking with a business person the other night, and he said, I noticed that Desert Financial came on board with you as your title sponsor. Congratulations. They are great. I have been doing business with them for 30-plus years. This is a guy that owns big companies and travels around with all sorts of businesses. Guys, Desert Financial can fit your needs. Small business, small family, just getting started. You look at what they have to offer. We appreciate Desert Financial Credit Union being part of sports360az.com. And now here's Eric. Are you excited for today being opening day? I am.
I mean, yeah. I'm curious to see what this slimmed down version of baseball looks like. We had our summer exhibition games, but you didn't have like A team going up against A team most of the time. So let's see what it's like when the games count again. And I don't know if I'll watch tonight, but I'm definitely going to check out the Diamondbacks tomorrow.
Talking about you may not watch tonight. Are you going to watch Suns Jazz preseason? That's on tonight.
I may toggle back and forth between that and some baseball, but I'm a little bit more excited for the NBA cranking back up than I am baseball. But
so tonight, if Aaron Judge hits a walk off, and none of his players can run up to him, and nobody can do anything, and they have the fake crowd noise, and I guess Fox, I don't know if ESPN is going to do this, but Fox is going to CG in, put fans in the stands for all their broadcasts to make it look like the place is full rather than the cardboard cutouts that we saw the first couple games.
On the first walk-off, Brad, I want to see them take the empty Gatorade cooler or empty cups of water and pretend like they're socially distancing and dousing the player that hits the walk-off. It's just a different, you know, you've seen teams doing it like with the imaginary high fives.
Yeah.
It's just throw the cooler. It's a new,
but here's the thing. When the Astros get plunked, when they get plunked, not if, when, and the fight breaks out, and then everybody's swinging at each other from 6 feet away, right?
I don't know how that's... Are they going to, like, throw bats at one another?
Yeah.
I don't know how they're going to do that. So,
throw the
coolers,
pieces of gum. I don't even know if they can they have gum? I know they can't have seeds.
No gum either. I would doubt they'd have gum. If there's no seeds, there's probably no gum.
I'm excited. I think the Diamondbacks are going to be competitive. We'll talk with Pedro about it in a few minutes. if baseball, this is how it works here in a pandemic, they're changing rules on the fly. If baseball allows 16 teams into playoffs, because they're still talking about it. Like the season starts today and they don't have the playoff format completely done. So if they have 16, I think the Diamondbacks are a playoff team. I don't think they're 16. I think they're probably 8, 7 maybe if Madison comes through.
Like yeah, that's exactly what I told you earlier this week, and you rolled your eyes and said, "Oh, you really think they're a playoff team? Why do you think they're a playoff team?" And now here we are,
an expanded playoff
day, and then all of a sudden it's like, "Yeah, they're a playoff team."
Well, because they're now expanded playoffs. If I was looking at four teams out of each, no way. If I'm looking at deeper than that, I could see that. Mookie Betts, who gets paid more over the contract? Cody Bellinger or Mookie Betts? Like the Dodgers sat there yesterday, and I'm going to talk to Pedro about this, and it's a pandemic. And nobody's thinking contract extension, let alone the richest contract in the history of baseball. More than Mike Trout. And this is a guy that was traded. Could you imagine if the Red Sox hadn't traded Mookie Betts and they had a 60-game season and they still had, and then he would have walked? What a train wreck that would have been. If you're a Red Sox fan, are you happy that this happened, that they traded him? Because it got them out of David Price's contract.
And the Dodgers, Brad, are a different animal. We know that. I mean, they don't really play by the same rules as other Major League Baseball teams, just because they have so much money.
That. Yeah. No, Walker Buehler is going to make $30 million. Cody, if Mookie Betts is making $35 million a year, is Cody a $30 million a year guy? Is he a $40 million a year guy? He's got Scott Boras on his side. Scott Boras going to say, well, my guy's better than that guy.
Probably.
I like Mike Trout. I don't know if you saw this or not. Yesterday, Mike Trout did a Zoom with reporters in L.A. after the Betts deal was announced. And they said, what do you think about that? And he said, I'd like to know how long he was in the tube for his physical. So I guess when Trout had his deal, like it was a 10 hours of poking, prodding, pulling because of we're going to give you this much money. We have to know every last bit of what you're all about.
And good for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to, right?
Sure. This whole Pac-12 thing that John Wilner, I'm glad we're going to have John today at 10:50. So he is of the opinion in reading the piece. You read the piece, right?
I did.
Yeah. That there at least is going to be a season presented. Now, my first question will be, this is great, reads great, gets people excited. Will the presidents of the universities agree to this? Will the presidents of the universities, one. Two, what I'm hearing on the schedule is there's going to be teams that come into states and stay here for 2 weeks. I think you're going to see a team from the Pac-12 North play Arizona and then stay and then come up the road and play Arizona State the following week. I think you're going to see that. I am 100% certain that Arizona State is on a space right now that will be played other than Thanksgiving weekend. It will be played at a different time. And I'm of the opinion that the reason that is let's just say they play each other early in the year, Eric. And let's say later in the year there are problems, meaning stuff with the virus, they could play each other again.
Right. Makes sense.
That's just what I'm seeing today. But if anybody bitches about, oh, well, why do we have ASU, U of A, and it's not Thanksgiving weekend, and this is how it's always been, this will be great because people will get excited. They will have something to look forward to. It's not going to be Colorado on a Saturday afternoon. And I think ASU U of A with Jaden Daniels is a national game. I do. Even if Kevin's lousy, and they're gonna be lousy down there. So
I mean, I think we're all going to miss, you know, Ohio State, Oregon. But if you could tell me a month ago we're gonna take away ASU UNLV and replace it with ASU U of A, I don't think you'd get one person complain about that.
I mean, what if they opened with Oregon State? And then they had the U of A, and then they finished the season with Cal. I think they're better than all three of those teams. But let's just say that it's Oregon State, U of A out of the gate. 2-0, Jaden Daniels. And so as I'm sitting here right now, that's been a scenario that has been floated past me in the last hour. Oregon State week one, U of A week two. Now, there's a lot of different schedules floating around, but the people I'm talking to have seen it. So if they're 2-0 with Jaden Daniels, they're ranked. So I think if they can pull it off, and that's a big if. So there's a bunch of other stuff going on. Today's a big day for high schools, huge day for high schools. We'll get to that at 10:35. And there were two nicknames announced today in sports, two of them. Well, one of them. Well, I'm not really sure how to put one of them. And actually, looking at both of them, I'm like, really? What is the NHL team in Seattle released their nickname today. And it's nothing that you would ever expect. And it doesn't end with an S. Most sports teams do end in S. So we'll get to that at 10:35. Pedro Gomez on the other side. Stick with us. All right, as promised, opening day for Major League Baseball. If on New Year's Eve you said, I cannot wait for opening day of Major League Baseball in 2020 being July 23rd, you win. You're the only one that wins. Here's Pedro Gomez now. ESPN baseball analyst, insider, Valley resident, 60-game sprint. I'm excited. I just feel as though, you know, Gerrit Cole against Scherzer today. How can you not like that? And then tonight you've got Kershaw. I don't know about Johnny Cueto as a number one, but, you know, it's Giants-Dodgers nonetheless. Are you excited that we finally have a season?
I am cautiously excited. I do think that it's great that the game is back. Watching the exhibition games, though, I think it's going to be difficult for casual fans to hold the interest because the atmosphere just isn't there. And that's part of watching live sports on television, even, is the atmosphere, to hear the crowd, to hear everything going on. And look, they're not going to have a problem with you or I, the hardcore fans. We're going to watch. That's not the issue. The issue is the casual fan that's going to say, oh, let me watch this. The game is back. And they're going to look at it as a novelty. And if that atmosphere and that drama isn't there, I fear that they're going to just say, I'm good. And they're going to turn off, take the exit ramp, and go elsewhere. It is amazing how much that whole atmosphere matters in baseball.
Well, if there's a walk-off home run and they can't all run out there and jump on it, right?
They can't even high-five each other. They can't grab each other. If Aaron
Judge hits a walk-off tonight, and nobody can walk out there or run out there and pound on him and throw water on him or Gatorade or cups or any of that stuff. No, you're right about that. But Pedro, the taking it to the extreme of putting in the crowd noise and filling an entire stadium, which you can do. You can just key it in using a television term.
But that's not the same.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. Are the networks trying too hard? Like the fake fans the other night, the cutout fans in the Diamondback games, to me, for an inning was okay, and then it was ridiculous.
Exactly. But that's where I think the novelty is going to wear off very quickly. It's cute and it's fun one, maybe two times, and then it's like, okay, I've had enough of that. I guess if you can change the cutouts and bring in celebrities and people from other sports and things like that, that'll make it this much more interesting, but I don't know that it's going to have any staying power. And piping in noise, it's not the same. You're not getting that immediate reaction that you get from fans. I think it'll be interesting to see the new rules in the sense, I'm not even talking about the three pitcher minimum. I'm talking about a pitcher having a wet rag in his back pocket so that he doesn't lick his fingers. And instead he grabs that to get moisture on his fingers. If you're on a rail, he's going to come and clean that rail off immediately after you have taken your arm off the rail. Just the spreading out in the dugout as well as outside of the dugout. All of those things are going to be fascinating to see how they work out. But again, I think that's going to lose its luster, so to speak, very quickly. And it's going to be inherent, I think, on the players to keep up the intensity to at least keep the fans interested.
Talk with Pedro Gomez, ESPN analyst, baseball insider. Well, here's the thing you've left out of this. When the Astros get beaned and there's a brawl, and then everybody is trying to swing and connect punches. And
from 6 feet away.
From 6 feet away. Right. Like, at some point, something's got to happen with the Astros, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was interesting that the Royals hit three Astros the other day, knowing full well we're not going to see them until 2021. We're not in the same division. We have no games against them. Have at it, almost, was the mentality that you almost thought was going on there. So I do think that, that all of those things, you know, fans not being able to jeer the Astros as they come into each ballpark, the Astros certainly saved themselves a lot of headaches by not having fans in the stands. They probably gain the absolute most of anybody in that respect. But it takes away. I mean, look, there's a lot of players. We remember the interviews during spring training before the pandemic stopped the game. There were players across baseball disgusted with the Astros and couldn't wait to get their pound of flesh from them. And now I don't know that that's going to happen.
Will the Diamondbacks be a team that plays in October this year, in your opinion?
I do believe so. I do believe so, especially if we go to the 16 game, the 16 clubs making the postseason, which is being talked about seriously right now. I do believe that the D-backs with Madison Bumgarner, Robbie Ray. Look, I'm excited for Zach Gallen. I think Zach Gallen has a lot of potential in him and can be a very good pitcher. When you're adding depth in your rotation like that, that usually is a sign of a club that plays in the month of October.
Before I get you out of here, I want to talk about Mookie Betts. And it's not just the contract, the size of the contract. There's a lot of layers to it. The timing of this announcement to me yesterday was, wow, we're in a pandemic. He comes into L.A., hasn't even been on the ground very long. They give him an enormous number, the biggest number, surpassing Trout, and they still have Cody Bellinger sitting out there. What's he going to make? If you're a Red Sox fan today, are you in mourning because you traded away a Hall of Famer who gets all this dough, who's going to go in with a Dodger cap on into the Hall of Fame? But you had to throw David Price. You got David Price's contract out of there. So how are the Red Sox fans reacting today to all this? A lot around Mookie Betts. What was your initial reaction? And kind of walk through what I just addressed.
Yeah, look, when that trade was made, I don't think there was any doubt whatsoever that Mookie Betts was never going to see free agency. The Dodgers made that deal with one thing in mind. We are going to give this guy a contract that he will not be able to say no to. And he's going to be a cornerstone figure for this franchise for the next decade. And the reason I say that is because you've got money coming off the books of the Dodgers and within the next 12 to 24 months, whether that's Justin Turner at the end of this year, Clayton Kershaw potentially. They've got big money coming off the books, and they have to free up money for, you mentioned Cody Bellinger. I think Walker Buehler is definitely a guy that you look at and say he is going to take the mantle from Kershaw in terms of being that next great Dodgers pitcher. So, they're looking at their franchise for the next 10 years, and they saw Mookie Betts absolutely being a cornerstone figure of that franchise. He's still young, so 12 years you look at it, yes, it's a long time, but Mookie is still a very young player. So I just think that the Dodgers are—look, Andrew Friedman— There's things that you could say negatively about him or positively, but he has built a roster that is going to last for the next decade in that organization that's going to be very difficult to contend with if you're in the National League West. These are things that, the Rockies, the D-backs, the Giants, the Padres must just be shaking their heads going, how the hell do we compete with this? Because their farm system has churned out so many great young players that they are keeping their own as well.
What about the Red Sox side of this now?
Well, the Red Sox have to be absolutely crestfallen at this, especially, I know their fan base is definitely crestfallen, because when you look at the offer that he signed with the Dodgers, the contract he signed, I mean, what I read was there's really about a $7 million difference, which is not that big when you're talking about a 10 to 12 year commitment. 7 years. So, I mean, $7 million. That indicates that maybe Mookie didn't want to stay in Boston. I know that he has not come out publicly and said that, but we know that players have had difficulty, especially African-American players, have had difficulty in Boston over the decades. And who knows what, who knows? I'm just saying that when you look at it and the offer that was made to him from the Red Sox and the offer that he signed with the Dodgers, if it's really $7 million difference, that indicates he just didn't want to be in Boston.
It's really interesting because when you see that Trout is out there and he passes Trout, this is akin to Trout being traded or Aaron Judge being traded,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is like it would for a Diamondback fan watching this to give a perspective. This would be Paul Goldschmidt when he was 27.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. After his first 5 years in the organization, only yeah. going. It's mind-boggling, but this is what baseball professional sports are. You know, you've earned that right through the collective bargaining agreement to become a free agent. He had turned down the Red Sox. The Red Sox knew we have 1 year left of control. If we don't trade him now, we're not going to get anything for him. We may as well try to get something. But it is hard to fathom that a team drafts a player, develops him, he becomes an MVP, a superstar, and he's gone at age 27. That's a hard pill to swallow if you're the front office, teammates, or the fan base in that city.
Okay, so what is Cody Bellinger's number then?
Oh, probably right around the exact same figure. I'm going to guess that it's going to be year to year probably around the same.
So they would have two guys, Pedro.
Yep.
Over $500 million tied up in two guys.
Yeah, you know, they'll be each be in the $30-plus million a year category. I think Walker Buehler is probably he looks like he's on his way to being exactly that type of number as well. You know, by then, David Price is another contract that will be off the books for them in 2 years. They're paying 16 of his 32. The Red Sox are still paying the other 16, by the way, this year and next year. This year, of course, it's prorated because of the pandemic. But they do have money coming off, and I think Buehler looks like the type of pitcher that's going to be a $30 million a year pitcher. Bellinger certainly looks like he is going to be a $30 million a year player. You've already got Mookie signed as a $30 million a year player. You're talking about three players eating up almost $100 million. Mm-hmm. But you are the Dodgers. You have more financial ability and wiggle room to be able to do a lot more things. And that's one of the issues that smaller market clubs have with them. But then, you know, you look at the Kansas City Royals, what they did a few years ago, going to the World Series twice. You know, you draft, you develop, and you get there. You can't keep them, but you can get there.
Last question, I'll make this real quick. One player you're really interested to see how he performs, one team you really believe, you know what, no one's talking about them. They're all in the Rays, they're all in the Yankees, they're all, you know, but here's a team, Brad, and here's a player, Brad, to keep an eye on this year.
All right, here's the team. I'm going to go with the White Sox. They've got great young talent. You add a Yasmani Grandal behind the plate to really solidify that pitching staff. You add Dallas Keuchel to the staff, a staff of young pitchers who do not know what September or October baseball is, but you're adding Grandal, World Series participant. You're adding Keuchel, World Series participant. You're adding guys that are used to going to playing in October. I think they will push that young Luis Robert, Yoan Moncada, just a great everyday lineup as well as a good pitching staff up. I think the White Sox are the team. In terms of a player, I'm really looking forward to seeing Shohei Ohtani healthy again, pitching once a week and batting five times a week as a DH or so.
Stay well, stay safe. You're home for now, right? You're not traveling.
We're prohibited from a lot of travel. We're really, really, they're clamping down on our travel.
Okay. Stay well. Good seeing you.
Likewise.
There's Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN baseball analyst, Insider Valley resident with the opening of the baseball season tonight on ESPN with the Yankees and Washington, and then you have the Dodgers and the Giants. And we're back with more after this timeout. All right, welcome back. John Wilner right around the corner on the Pac-12 and what may be a football season. We'll see. That's coming up in about 8 minutes. So Governor Ducey is talking this afternoon at 3. What do you think he is going to say in regards to high schools and sports? I will tell you what I think he's going to say after you say what you think he's going to say, which given our past few weeks, I don't think you think he's going to say much. Yeah.
Will he say anything unprompted? Because the last few weeks, the only thing he has mentioned about high school, nothing about the athletic side, but just about high schools in general, was when he was asked about them.
Yeah.
Here we are. You know, we're now towards the later part of July. And there just has to be one of these weeks, Brad, where there is a plan in place. This is what we're going with. You can push it back. But I don't really think that's fair to the teachers, the administration, the people that kind of need to know what's going on. I know we have a soft start date, but who knows what the numbers are going to look like with COVID this week.
So yesterday afternoon, I started working the phones and just talking to parents or people in administration at the high school level. And I would say that right now, as we sit here today, the level of optimism of an August 17th start is nil. So but 2 weeks ago, the same people were telling me, yeah, he's going to push back. All the way up until an hour before he talked, he's going to push back. And then he went dark, and then he came out, and he didn't push back. So if you're a high school football player, I talked with a coach out of state earlier today who has told me a top safety in the state of Arizona is coming to his high school. And so it's already happening. There's a quarterback that I know whose parents are already shopping in Utah. So I think even regardless of what happens, that I had one AD tell me yesterday that the clubs will rule this year in sports. Clubs will rule. Because parents just, they cannot be patient. They cannot just say, well, let's just wait and see how this plays out. All of them are so concerned. And then there's the hatred towards David Hines and the AIA that's just, you know, I understand David's in a no-win position, but man, the amount of venom directed towards him, it's not his fault. The governor hasn't said a damn word.
Like, yeah. I mean, everyone's waiting on Ducey. And you're to the point now where, you know, we talked about this last week. Is it just so simple as just, you know, walking out, putting a for sale sign in the front yard and shopping your kid around to an out-of-state school and packing up a U-Haul and moving and relocating everything? These family, I just don't, it's such a major process. And it sounds like these families are just like, we got to get this kid a scholarship, so let's go regardless.
But sometimes, Eric, you could be a guy that wakes up in Washington one day and you could say, you know what, let's just pack up the car and let's go to Colorado.
Right.
You know, let's just pack everything up and let's go. And I think that there's going to be a lot of that, of where did this kid go? And then it'll just pop up, or she will just pop up somewhere. I would not be truthful right now if I didn't say to you, I'm looking at all of this. And I've got a kid who is a high-end water polo kid. He is. And yeah, the football thing is there and wrestling thing is there. I'd be just not being honest if I didn't say I'm looking around at all this saying, what is the right move to make for him? For him. And the right move for him is to be right where he is planted, close to his friends, and to be in his community. That doesn't mean that's going to be the case in 6 months. Because as a parent, yeah, you got to look at everything and say, you know what? Maybe it is best if we go here and I rent down here and I do what I'm doing right now. Maybe that is the best way to go. I think a lot of people are looking at the remote, doing stuff remotely, saying, why do I even have to be in a city anymore?
But the Cessnats have time because your son is going to be a sophomore.
Right.
Other families who have senior athletes.
Oh, they're losing their minds.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, your runway is a lot longer than someone who's entering their final, yes, hopefully, football season, volleyball season, basketball season, whatever. They have, it's like now or never. It's either you poop or you get off the pot, one or the other.
Yeah, it's a good way to put it. John Wilner is up next. Stay with us. All right, as promised, John Wilner is with us now. The Wilner Hotline. If you guys don't follow John on Twitter, you really should. College football fans, high school football fans, a lot there to meet sandwich whenever he puts stuff up. It's John, JonWilner, at Wilner Hotline. John with the Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News, where he published today the headline, Revised Pac-12 Football Schedule Features Mid-September Start, Multiple Dates for the Championship Game. John, I appreciate being with us. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Well, I'm doing much better now that I read your headline, because we had heard July 31st was like the date that we were going to sit here and wait and wait and wait if they were going to do a season or not. In a nutshell, if you could walk through what you wrote today so that people would go read it in full and where the conference is for a season.
Well, there's two nutshells. The first one is we have no idea what's going to happen, right? And what they are hoping that as of now will happen in September could very well have to be scrapped, right? So everything is fluid and everything is tentative. But at this point, the conference is moving forward with a schedule that would see games start September 19th, and they're scheduling 10 games for each team. It's all conference play. And then the at the back end, the football championship game, which is in Las Vegas for the first time, they basically have 3 weeks of flexibility, the first three weekends in December, so that they can move the game back if they need to, if games have been canceled early in the season and they need to play those games, they can slot them into some December weeks and move the championship game back all the way to the 19th of December.
John Wilner with us for a couple of minutes. Make sure you check this out on Twitter, at Wilner Hotline. Where is Ray Anderson in this, or who were the key players in this? I know Ray has been very much, along with Dr. Michael Crow here at Arizona State, a big part of the Pac-12 network side. How big a voice did ASU and U of A have in the room on this?
I mean, I think everybody has been involved. You know, all 12 schools, there's a football, you know, they got a whole bunch of subcommittees going on right now, as you could imagine, because there's so many issues to tackle. And they have a football planning committee, and it consists of head coaches, athletic directors, and directors of football operations. And each school is represented. And they have been working through a whole bunch of models, you know, basically since April. They've been working on football scheduling models. You know, full 12 games, conference only, 10 games, 8 games, all this stuff. But, you know, every school has been involved.
In terms of the framework for this model, this is the preferred model. There are bye weeks built in on this model, correct?
There are. And they're doing that in case they need to have weeks for makeup games. So from the first scheduled game on September 19th through December 19th, when they would have to play the championship, or the latest possible date for the championship, that's 14 weeks. And, you know, they're hoping to play 10 games plus a championship in a 14-week span. So they're building in some flexibility, which you have to do, right? What happens if, you know, ASU's got 17 kids that have to be quarantined, right, 1 week, and they can't play. So you have to have some kind of flexibility. But part of the issue going forward for people to watch, and it's a little bit in the weeds, but it's important, is the exact nature of the quarantine process and how that could impact college football. If you have contact with someone who, your teammate who tests positive, or if 12 kids have contact with a teammate who tests positive, and those 12 kids have got to be quarantined for 14 days, that's going to make it hard. If the quarantine period is changed based on local, state, federal health guidelines, CDC, whatever, and the quarantine period is, say, moved to 7 or 10 days, that could significantly improve the chances of teams being able to play on a week-to-week basis.
two other questions for you, John, on this. And it's really, really interesting stuff. Make sure you follow John over on Twitter and check out the article today. Where are the college presidents in the Pac-12 at on this? Are they unanimously?
Well,
where are they at?
Yeah, that's the big question. That's the big question. And look, the conference would not have moved forward with this, either the schedule model that I reported or a different schedule model, if the presidents and chancellors hadn't given approval to make plans, right? And they need to sign off on this before it is announced next week. And there could be a few tweaks, in the next week here. But ultimately, the presidents and chancellors are going to have to decide, you know, yes, it's safe for these players to start training camp in the middle of August. And yes, it's okay to move forward with the game. I mean, this is kind of a first step. But the fact is, it is a first step in a revised approach to the season, and so it's significant in that respect. But it's all going to come down to the presidents and chancellors and the local health authorities, whether it's safe for these guys to practice and play.
What does your gut tell you in doing the reporting on this in regards to that question by next week?
Well, I think that they will sign off on this plan, but once we get to mid-August, am I confident that they will sign off on training camp starting? That I'm not so sure about, right? I mean, the situation in many regions of the Pac-12 is not very good. And, of course, the kids need a month to get ready for the season at least. So, you know, it's a pretty aggressive approach because it requires a training camp to start in mid-August. I think it's much more likely that they will end up delaying further the start of training camp and the start of the season. But the beauty of what the Pac-12 has done with the championship game being able to move all the way back to December 19th if necessary is that they could start October 24th is a Saturday. They could delay the season until October 24th and still play 8 conference games and get the championship in, right? And if you're talking about October 24th, then that's a fair amount of time for things to change, you know, at the local level. September 19th start date, there's not a whole lot of time to change. But October 24th, and if you asked these, you know, college athletic directors right now, would you take an 8-game season? They would take an 8-game season. And they can do that. They have the flexibility to wait until late October if they need to.
Really good stuff there. And we want to encourage fans to go check it out. Revised Pac-12 football schedule. Features mid-September start, multiple dates for the championship game is the headline. John Wilner, the author, you can find John over on the Wilner Hotline on Twitter, at Wilner Hotline. John, as always, appreciate it, especially on short notice, jumping on board down here in Arizona. Thanks.
Sure, thanks. Stay safe.
There's John Wilner with us, and that is that. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. He is the Iron Man. The Iron Man doesn't miss, even when he plays hurt, and sometimes he does. We appreciate Jared and all of his support. Thanks to Eric, Jordan Hamm, Sandy Charles, Devin Henry, Brandy Aguilar. Yeah, we got people that are working this stuff on our Football AZ show over on Fox Sports Arizona. That has airings tonight. Make sure you check out the website at sports360az.com. Have yourself a great day.